Baby, now you ready. Baby, now you ready.
Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, awesome. And now into June, officially. And June's maybe the season, arguably the month with, you know, we'll get some we'll get some OTAs, but really there's not a whole lot of movement. I know contract wise, there's a lot of contracts that are going to be like post June 1st. Now some cuts might happen. I know the big news right now, it seems like Julio Jones, like now the Falcons can trade him and save some money. So those types of things are now can happen, but those timelines kind of start, right? But there's no real deadline on any of that. Really until training camp, once training camps hit, we'll see how these teams get together. But you know, we're still 6 weeks away from that. I can't remember the exact date. This is just a pure guesstimation on my part, so I might look foolish. Actually, no one knows what date it is. You said Tuesday. They can trace it back. It's fine. Anyway, welcome in, folks.
June 1st, Aaron Rodgers still a Packer. Minicamp's the 8th. And then I don't even think they have set in stone what day they're going to start training camp. I think they have the week, but I don't think they have any dates or times or anything. So we'll see. We're still a little ways out.
I guess the players are as much in the dark as we are. Because that never happens with the Packers, apparently.
Never.
Nah, it's the offseason, right? And, you know, one thing we're actually planning to do throughout this offseason is kind of just have some... I guess we have fun every episode, Jesse, but we'll call this a fun episode with some rankings and some lists here. And this particular one, figured way to kick off this portion of the offseason is with counting down the 10 best Packers seasons. Great team with a great history, so it's real fun to look at that way. You'd hate to be... I'm just gonna throw a name out. Like, you'd hate to be the Cardinals trying to make this list, right? Like, you get to like 8, 9, 10, and it's, oh, that's a tough decision, but for the wrong reason, because there's not enough good seasons. Sorry, Cardinals fans. I should say the Texans. That's a more obvious one. They've only been around for so little. It's all seasons with J.J. Watt, guaranteed.
Right.
So one thing we kind of just spoke about before we started recording is we didn't speak about this. Just said 10 Packer seasons. There was no kind of, you know, any restrictions or any specific designations, but I think we both kind of agree the Packers have 13 championships in their history. There were really only 13 seasons to choose from.
100%. Yeah. Like we talked about, you know, it's one team that maybe, you know, you could almost argue, which I saw they were number 10 on a few lists, which that 14 team, like I said, I have an asterisk. That should be a Super Bowl championship there. We're not going to rehash that season. But yeah, I agree 100%. You know, we only have 13 seasons to pick from because those are the 13 titles. So if you're doing a top 10, you have to win a title, right? Especially the Packers. Now, like you said, if you're the Cardinals or Texans, you know, you might not be able to say that, or a lot of other teams. So that brag on the Packers there. But yeah, it's got to be out of 13 seasons. So just it'll be the order that we do it. And, you know, I kind of based it off season and, you know, team, but more of the season. Because like you said perfectly, you know, before we started, hey, you want a championship. That's a great season, right? So it's hard to rank it when you win.
Just before we get into the list, I would say if I was to pick one non-championship season, I'd specifically from the Rodgers era, I think I'd go 2011 just because of how great the regular season was. Because honestly, both playoff disappointments bother me. And yes, they were closer. They were in the NFC championship game. Ultimately, though, like, I mean, 2011, they lost to the Super Bowl champion. I mean, they didn't in 2014, like they lost the team that lost the Super Bowl champion. And as much as like at the time I was like, I really don't want to see the Seahawks win after having the Packers lose like that. Now I'm thinking back, it's like, you know what? Maybe I would have liked the Seahawks to win that and can say, at least we lost the champs. So I'd go 2011 if I had to pick a non-Super Bowl season.
Yeah, so the only thing with, yeah, 2011 season was amazing, right? But the flaw in that team was, especially when Nick Collins got hurt, sadly I was at that game. In Carolina, that defense was really flawed, right? Like you saw the holes, you saw that, hey, you know, Rodgers is going to score 50, which was fun. Like every week we're like, yeah, they're scoring 45. It doesn't matter who we play, but the other team's scoring 35, you know? So that was a scary thing where that 14 team, you know, going down that stretch, that defense was playing lights out. So in my humble opinion, though, they both should have been Super Bowl champs.
It's funny because I think the way the choices we made there, just on the best Super Bowl season, really factored into maybe how we also ranked them. Because actually, we don't know each other's list right now, so this will actually be a surprise as we reveal them to ourselves as well as the listeners. But you've kind of already hinted at it. You went combination of season, but the team, looking at the roster. I really did go more season, results, significance, impact, less looking at what the actual roster was. So that might also influence how our ultimate top 10 is, because I think it influences this decision here. Because I agree with you. If you look at teams side by side, the 2014 team, better overall roster than 2011. It's just Rodgers was so magnificent. The 15-1, like, it was just, I feel more the impact again. Right, so I think that's interesting. So that's going to be a dynamic throughout the rankings. That'll be really good as we debate this.
Right, so Jesse, you're the statistician. Go ahead.
Yeah, me and the numbers, right? So number 10, Jesse, why don't you start off with yours? What do you have ranked as the 10th best Packers season?
1967 Packers. Kind of snuck into the playoffs. Then they got it done, right? Like, I mean, this Vince's actual, this is Vince's last season as a Packers head coach. Won the Super Bowl, beat the Raiders, Ice Bowl. Hey, how can you forget that? Probably should be higher if you ask, older fans, because that Ice Bowl game, was something special to them. But yeah, it's just an iconic team. Got it done. Again, they're 9-4 with a tie, but they ended up winning it all. So that's my number 10. Great season. Way before my time, but hey, you still can see that anytime you turn on NFL Network, that game and, highlights from that game, you still see it on all the time.
I mean, 67. The thing is, it's this has only happened twice in NFL history, and they completed it in 67, the three-peat. The Packers did it back in, 29, 30, 31. No championship game, so no playoff structure. It's just best regular season team, right? Seems like it's a little easier to make that three-peat, but this is the first time three-peat with playoffs, and you had to go and win your championship game. And so I think just that alone, it kind of makes it great. And to represent that three-peat, I actually have number 10 and number 9. So at 10, I have the 65 season where they went 10-3-1. And then at number 9, I have the 67 season. Now, 9-4-1, worse record, but they had a better point differential in 67. 123 point differential versus only a 92 point differential in 65. And I will be looking at point differential for a lot of these seasons. It just kind of give context, right? Because you look at overall points, the newer seasons are going to be skewed just with the way the rules and more games. But the point differential, I think, is a greater bearing on the fact that not all these seasons are the same amount of games either. But again, still less games, less chance to stretch out that differential. I get that. So there's still, context still matters. But regardless, I think the point differential, but also the fact that not only was it a Super Bowl year, whereas, in 65, you win the NFL championship, that's it. But 67, you have to win the NFL championship, and then after that, win the Super Bowl. And the fact that it completed the still only three-peat ever in the playoff era of the NFL, I think quite significant. So I wanted I put 67 ahead of 65 for that reason. But again, I have them both at 10 and 9, respectively, for 65 and 67.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And like what you're saying, you're going to throw those stats in there, point differential and all that too, And my only argument, maybe, earlier than the 60s, where, how many teams were in the league, the Packers were superior. It's still a great season. But yeah, like you said, those two are really close, right? 67, I think it was just a little older team. Record wasn't as good. So I kind of looked at, the point differential, but winning and losing to me too. So it, hard to argue, right? Like, this is going to make it fun. So, yeah. Should we go on to 9?
Yeah, well, again, that 67 is my 9, so that's a good transition to your number 9.
Okay, well, so my number 9, I went with the 1939, way before my time. Don't ask me everything about that team other than, hey, Don Hutson was the best football player on the field, right? So, 39, they went 9-2. They did the first shutout in a championship game. They shut out the Giants 27-0. Don Hutson was just a man among boys at this point. He was averaging almost 25 yards a catch, second title in a row. The shutout, it seems like they always played the Giants too. I think they beat the Giants at all three of those. Did they not? I could be. No. They didn't beat all three. Anywho, they played the Giants a lot and they ended up beating them. But great season, right? 9-2. And then you do the first shutout in championship game history. That's my number 9.
Yeah, they played a team from Boston in 36.
That's right. Yeah, the Boston Redskins. That's who it was.
Yeah, but then you're right. The other two, 39 and 44 were both against the Giants. That is correct. They're good at beating the Giants. That's good. And I didn't keep calling me the numbers guy. I didn't catch that one. 39, the first shutout ever in a championship game. I didn't know that. So good pickup there on that. Good job, Jesse.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, so moving to number eight, I'm going to stay in that era, 1936 season. So they went 10-1-1 again, and it was my way of getting a Don Hutson season in there. Although, again, three Don Hutson championships, and it's not just Don Hutson, it's the whole team. But, Curly Lambeau as a coach, of course. Don Hutson, like you said, he's the best player. He's the best player in the country at that point. Like at any position, and he played multiple. And he was the best at all three of them, really, that he played, both receiver, defensive back, and as a place kicker. So, had to definitely get one in there. I think, just a slightly better record than 39. They got to 10 wins instead of just 9. One win difference, not a big deal. Bigger difference in point differential. 80 point differential in 39 compared to 130 in 36. And I feel like 36 is where they really announced it. I believe it was Hutson's second season. And, he and Ernie Harbor, I think that's what, just as they started to develop the route tree, and the teams just didn't have an answer for it. So they just completely dominated. And that same type of concept comes back to me later in some of the future seasons. But let's get to your number eight season, unless you want to comment on my decision to go 36 instead of 39.
We might as well go on to my next one because we both had the exact same season on that. So I also had the 36 season, same era. Don Hutson, just destroying everybody and every, creating the route tree and stuff. So we agree on that. So keep going forward.
All right, number seven. Do you want to give yours then?
Yep, number seven. I'm not going to stay old on all of this, but 1929 team. And I would guess that you have them higher because their numbers are pretty crazy. But hey, they went undefeated, right? 12-0 with a tie. If you want to talk about defense, that team was defense. So they averaged giving up 1.6 points per game. Yes, you heard that right. 1.6 points per game. So less than a safety a game, which the scoring was a little bit different. But yeah, crazy on that with eight shutouts. They had eight shutouts. That team was littered with, you had Johnny Blood on there. That team was loaded. So Curly Lambeau's title, they're undefeated and nobody scored on you. Probably should be higher, but yeah, that's my number seven.
I don't know, maybe I'll make that argument later. We'll find out. And I get to the sense, like, honestly, from seven up, we're going to say it's something and everyone will immediate reaction be that should be higher. Cause that's almost my immediate reaction on this one, the 1961 season. So after 44 is the last time a Curly Lambeau team won. And so they went 18 years, which I guess is winning as often as the Packers did at the, in the '30s and the title of the '40s, it was kind of getting uncomfortable to be that long without a championship. And within three seasons, Lombardi turned, if we ever did, I don't know if we want to do this list, but if we ever did the worst Packers seasons ever, 1958 probably has to be the worst season ever. 110-1, a minus 189 point differential, which is actually not the worst in Packers history, believe it or not, which, okay, I guess we know what the top two worst are, but I don't think we want to do that list. But just as a reference point, like how low the Packers team was, and then 3 years later to win a title, and I'm pretty sure that was a championship game that they also got a shutout in, if I'm not mistaken. But an 11-3 season.
You're right when you said they got the shutout. Yeah, they did. I'm actually looking at it right now, so.
Yeah. All right. So I was right about that. Yay. I'm smart. Well, not really. I got lucky. But the Packers definitely didn't get lucky. I mean, they dominated that season because they were the best team. And I guess it's the same thing I was talking about at number eight. This is early on in the Vince Lombardi offensive system. Well, really the Vince Lombardi system, because it changed coaching altogether, as well as completely changing offense and inventing zone blocking. No big deal. But by this point, like, no one could keep up. And the defense was incredible. So, it's tough to score against them. I'm almost surprised that they lost three games. But yeah, 168 point differential. Definitely one of the higher ones in Packers history. Maybe, and I think probably higher than maybe seven. So that the same thing that you're saying with your number seven probably should be higher, but just speaks to the quality of seasons the Packers have had. So for my number seven, it's 1961.
Which I have higher. So yeah, we agree on that. Well, I agree it should be higher, but yeah, very close. Great points. Moving forward, right? Number six?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, number six, I have the 65 season. The biggest thing with that, okay, you know, obviously another title, 10-3-1. Kind of crazy with the ties at the end of the season. So the Packers tied San Francisco, and then they tied the Baltimore Colts for the Western Conference title. So they played again, then they ended up beating the Colts. And then the championship game, they shut down Jim Brown. Like, we all know how great Jim Brown was, right? Which was Jim Brown's last game, too, wasn't it? I could be wrong on that, but it might be. I think it is. But they held him to 50 yards. And, you know, and they beat the Cleveland Browns, too. The Cleveland Browns were no joke either, you know, in those years. So 65 is my number six.
Pretty sure the Browns were the defending champs, if I'm not mistaken. If not, they had won 2 years prior. No, like in that 63-64, those 2 years the Packers didn't win in that Lombardi championship stretch, the Browns won one of those titles.
Yeah, so yeah, and it just, how close now, you know, like you look at the other seasons where the Packers separated, you know, there was San Francisco was really good and the Colts were really good. And of course you had the Cleveland Browns. So there were some really tight games. God, if I was alive back then, wow, talk about edge of your seat. I can't stand games that are two scores apart and you had all these ties just to get in and get those shots. So probably pretty good times back then.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So yeah, you're right. We'll eventually get to the newer games, the newer seasons. But I mean, to be fair, they've only won two Super Bowls in the last, oh boy, I don't even want to count, but that's over 50 years. That's over 50 years. 67, that'd be, yeah, that's almost 55 years. Okay, we can't drive there, but we'll keep driving on this episode, hanging on here. So I guess this is what I'm curious about, because I wonder, this is a season I actually had some difficulty ranking. Like, I could have moved it anywhere. Like, this particular season of mine, I could have moved it anywhere in the previous five. And I know for us, I already know something doesn't add up. So there is, I'll be honest, our list, we don't have the exact same 10 games. So there's something that's excluded somewhere for you. And it might be this one, I'm not sure. But ultimately, I have it at number six. It's the 1931 season. They went 12-2, but what really pushed it for me is even back then, again, you already referenced it with the 29 season. It's so tough to score back then. There's so many games that were 0-0. Like, legit, like, you go through an NFL schedule, any game in the 20s, you'll see 0-0 games throughout. The Packers had a 204-point differential in 31 when it was so tough to score impossibly. They were just that much dominant. And again, it completed the three-peat, one of the only two we've ever seen in NFL history. I put it ahead of 67 just because, again, that 204-point differential really stood out to me. I think it's the third highest in Packers history. So I put it at six, but I'm curious what you think about 31.
Well, now you made me feel bad because that was my honorable mentions. 44 in that season were the two that I had sitting out. So probably should have been higher, like you said. I should have it in there. But great argument, right? Like, you're talking about the point differential in a time where you couldn't score and they were. So yeah, that's pretty amazing for sure.
Honestly, when I was first kind of thinking of the list, I kind of already had an idea of what I wanted to put where before I dove into the numbers. And that was one that I get maybe even for me risked not even being on the list. And then I looked, that's like, that's just so ridiculous. Like I have to put it this high. So if you don't mind, I'm going to head to my number five, something you've already mentioned. It's the 29 season. So it's funny. I had 65 and 67 kind of together, the first and last of a three-peat, same here. 29, the first ever Packers championship. And the point differential is still insane for its time, 176. They went 12-0-1, the only undefeated season in Packers history. Without a tie, you'd say perfect, but again, no championship game. So does that really matter if there's no playoffs? Because playoffs matter so much. You can only judge it by what was of the era. And they didn't lose a game that year. And you mentioned it. 1.6 points per game, 22 points allowed over a 13-game season. Insane. And so that's, to me, I just had to have it in the top five. I think when we weren't sure, I wasn't at first sure if we were going to do a top five, top 10. I'm really glad we did a top 10. There's so many that are worth it. It makes sense. But I felt like I would just say, I have to include this one. So I maybe forced it up to the top five, but looking back at my list, it's tough for me to put it lower. I know you had it slightly lower, but it's again speaks the quality of all these seasons. But my number five is the 1929 season.
Great season, way before our time, but yeah, those stats are amazing. And I think I'm kind of agreeing with you because that is also their first title. So I should have had it, well, maybe two more higher and we could agree. But I went with, so this is a 2010. Probably people remember this one a little bit better than all those other ones. What a season. So much went on in this season. 10-6, you know, limped in as a sixth seed into the playoffs, but we got in. And, like, I remember them coming in the locker room. First of all, we shouldn't have even got in. You can thank DeSean Jackson for returning that kick to get us in. We were playing with house money, Roger said, and we sure were. But this team, so remember all the injuries, this team, like, man, they should have been dead in the water by like week five. We lost so many starters, yet this team kept plugging. Probably the most interesting stat, and I don't think it's ever been done, this team was never down by more than one score in any single game all year. That's amazing. Never been down by more than one score all season at any time. That's crazy. Just so amazing. And once they got in the playoffs, it was fire, right? This team, it was magical. It just all came together. Defense scored. They turned the ball over and they scored. You know, you got Charles Woodson on defense, you know, emotional leader and a stud on the field, Clay Matthew in his own. And this is really, you know, Rodgers MVP, but we saw it the year before, but it all took form. Just awesome. So it's top five. Yeah, maybe it's more, hey, I saw it. It was nostalgia and all that stuff. But how do you have a better Cinderella finish when a team that shouldn't even been there? It was awesome.
It's destiny. It wasn't destiny. They just own their way, right? And I'm going to get into that in a sec, but not quite yet. So, I don't know. Maybe call this me being a little biased. I'm, you know, maybe ignoring a couple numbers here. But at number four, I've got the 1996 season. It's Brett Favre's year. So I have three seasons ahead of this. 13-3. The second best point differential in Packers history at 248. And I mean, if you were to like it, and this is the distinction that we referenced it earlier. Are we talking play like seasons or rosters? Because if we were talking best roster, I don't know those Lombardi rosters. I might just put all five Lombardi championships because those rosters were stacked. But either way, so I've got it for. Maybe it's my bias against the quarterback. Maybe he's soured me so much that I'm going to lower it. So I don't know. I have an argument of why I have it behind 2010 in particular. So maybe I'll say that more when it gets to my number three, which I've kind of already ruined. So do you want to give your number four? Maybe it's something we've already talked about so we can make this easier.
I'm not ready to talk about 96 yet. I'm ready to talk about 1961. So yeah, 61, 11-3, you know, beat the Giants. First championship for Vince. That team was loaded. First time they put a G on the helmet too, so that's kind of neat, right? Fun little stat. They dominated. They had, 11 Hall of Famers on that team? Like, I think when you can think of, like, Pittsburgh was probably close in the 70s with that many Hall of Famers. I think they had 9. Don't quote me on that. But 11 Hall of Famers on a team. That's pretty amazing. So I have the 61 season as my number four.
All right. Yeah. Again, I had it all the way down at number seven. That might be, I guess technically 31. You didn't even have on the list. I guess that's the one we're separate on. Again, though, I don't necessarily even blame you because it was, you know, not to say it was like, oh, it was gut wrenchingly difficult, but I mean, really deciding what to exclude. I don't know. Maybe the worst season in Packers history is obvious. We'll get that in a sec. But yeah, so my argument is, so at number three, I've got the 2010 season. So you talked about it, right? The Cinderella story, having to win all the playoff games on the road. They actually ended up winning 7 games away from Lambeau that year, which ties a franchise record with a couple seasons that are coming up. More than 96. 96, they won 6 games. Even though they went 13-3, they only won 6 games away from Lambeau, which includes the Super Bowl win. But again, no other playoff games because they did so well, which maybe I'm almost punishing them for being so good in that sense. I like Aaron Rodgers better than Favre. I want to put the season ahead of it. It's my ranking. But But ultimately, though, like, just to win that many playoff games on the road is an incredible feat. And the teams they played were pretty legit. Like, this was not a cake schedule by any means. And to cap it off against a defense that maybe was on the back end of being the best defense in the NFL, but they were still probably the best defense in the NFL at that point. It was the Packers once Woodson got there and they drafted Matthews. It was probably those two. And you know what? Defense matters that year. That Super Bowl really mattered, and yet, you know, great quarterbacks playing and offense too. But yeah, I think so I've got 2010 at number three ahead of 1996. Sorry, Jesse.
Don't be sorry. I mean, I agree with you on the Brett Favre and Rodgers thing, but yeah, I'll talk about my 96 soon enough. So, but like you said, this top five was so darn hard. I don't think there's a wrong answer. I don't think there's a right answer. On to my three, correct?
Yeah, go ahead, do your three.
All right, so my three is still not the 96. It's 1966, 12-2, first Super Bowl, so that kind of matters, right? Hey, we're going to play a Super Bowl, and the Packers had to win it. Like, it was almost like, hey, you guys cannot lose this game. They sure didn't. They kicked the crap out of the Chiefs, 35-10. That defense was amazing. Bart Starr wins the MVP, so the offense couldn't have been bad. And then your defense has 28 interceptions, and all over the place you have Hall of Famers still. You know, that, of course, you know, we just talked about Hall of Famers on 65. Well, they're still on 66 too. So just a great team that couldn't be stopped. It showed the Packers' superiority over everybody else. So 66 is third for me.
All right, well, and perfect transition, because I have 66 at number two. One of the reasons being, you know, that first Super Bowl. But it was also, it was part of that three-peat, and I think of those three seasons, and I think we both think it because we both have it in the top three, it was the best season out of those three. Best record, they also had the best point differential, 172, which is, I believe that's fifth in Packers history. So I think, you know, maybe on the sheer number it doesn't look as significant, but again, being part of that three-peat, as you mentioned, part of the first Super Bowl, just a truly dominant stretch of football, and it really represented kind of, I think, the peak of that three-peat, the peak of that really dominant stretch, at least at the second half of the Lombardi stretch, really, like the championship stretch, as we mentioned, a little hiatus when the Browns were the best team in the NFL. I'm pretty sure that's the last time they won a championship too, so it is weird to think about that, but so my number two is 1966. Jesse, what do you have at number two?
Okay, so as much as we just talked about, you know, the first Super Bowl. Me as a teenager, here's your season right here, 1996. Seeing my dad and my uncle cry after a 29-year Packers, who were the laughing stock of the NFL through the 70s and 80s, Lombardi came home. I'll get into the stats and everything, but that right there puts it in the top two for me, because that I was younger and I was a Packer fan, but that cemented my diehardness to the Green Bay Packers. Just to saw what that meant to my family and the whole state of Wisconsin was something special. So right there, that didn't matter. That's amazing. So yeah, 13-1, regular season. Brett Favre, we can say what we wanted. He's the MVP. But what's impressive, this defense doesn't get talked about enough. People talk about the Chicago Bears defense in the 80s. This defense was better. You want to argue me that? You're wrong. This defense was amazing. The Miami Dolphins were the other team that led the league in scoring offense and defense, and then this defense did the same thing. This defense was amazing. You didn't score on it. Well, I think they only gave up, 17 touchdowns on the season? Something crazy like that. That's how good they were. Leroy Butler, for another time, should be in the Hall of Fame, but they were just good. You have Reggie, who came here. This is why we brought him in, right? It's just magic how we got back on top of the world. So that's my number two.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the touchdown, but that is insane, and that defense is great. So maybe I did disrespect them a little bit. I mean, Reggie White, it's the ultimate pinnacle for him, especially. You know, one of the greatest NFL careers, and he got to cap it off with a Super Bowl, which, you know, any player deserved one, certainly was him, I think.
All right, greatest player in all around every position. Reggie White's the greatest player in my book. Maybe I exclude quarterbacks because, you know, they touch the ball and all that, but Reggie is the greatest football player I've ever seen play. So, yeah, it was a pretty magical season. I know it was either 17 or 19. I can look up the numbers on those touchdowns, but it was something insane like that. That's how good that team was.
less than 20 touchdowns in a, and this is, we're in a 16 game season at this point, right? Which I guess we're no longer now, actually. Now we're in a 17 game season, but that'll be interesting. But imagine the point differentials now. But no, but yeah, I think you get 248 point differential. It certainly stands up there. And maybe I should have put it at number two, to be honest. I'm sorry, everyone, but that's okay. That's how I am. But all right, I mean, and there's a few that we agreed on exactly, like you know, the 36 season we both had at number eight. Actually, I think that's the only one. So we agreed on two, because the other one we agreed on, this most important one, is the number one season. So Jesse, I'll let you introduce it to the people.
It's got to be 62, right? I mean, no doubt. You know, the 13-1 regular season, loaded with all those Hall of Famers again. The Packers were allowing around 10 points a game. They were scoring almost 30 points a game. I mean, they dominated everybody. They ran the ball, did 36 touchdowns. Defense had 31 interceptions. Like, it wasn't even close what they did to other teams. It was just – and they lost to the Lions, by the way. Hey, the Lions were good at one time. Remember that, everybody. They were pretty good at one time. But that was their only loss that year. But it's just – outside of that game, they weren't even close. They just dominated everybody. Wasn't around for it, but just looking up everything, it was like guaranteed. It's, you know, it was guaranteed when the Packers showed up, they're kicking your butt that year.
Everyone wants to know why. Why do I despise the Lions more than any other team? You know, perfect seasons, right? Like, it's only ever happened once. This is the closest the Packers have ever been, and honestly, probably ever will be. And the Lions, of all teams. Now, and like you said, Jesse, they were amazing at one point. The 50s. I'm pretty sure that like the 50s were dominated by the Browns and the Lions. I think they combined for 7 Super Bowls, and I'm pretty sure they played each other like 4 times in those Super Bowls. So just they were
championships.
Oh yeah, Super Bowls. There's not Super Bowls in the 50s. Good point, Jet. Yeah, good catch. Like,
we know what you meant.
That's a good Don Hudson catch that you ran well, and you caught it quick too. I get, well, or it could be a Sterling Sharp one too. He was good catching and quick too. But yeah, I think this is why I don't like the Lions. it happened, maybe I'm showing my age, but it happened almost 30 years before I was born, but that doesn't even matter. The hatred and vile from it. And I mean, certain individuals that have played for the Lions or coached the Lions recently, but I'm thinking Ndamukong Suh, that really cemented the, I don't like the Lions and like, I don't like them more than everyone, but I'm going to concentrate on the positives though. So outside of that loss, like 13 wins and they win the title. This is year 4 of the Lombardi system. So now it's a well-oiled machine. They've got the confidence coming off of 61. They won a title. They know they're the best team in the world. And they just really showed it that season and never let the foot off the gas. Back-to-back championships. And the point differential, 267 point differential between what they scored and what they allowed. It ended up, the exact numbers were 335 points scored, 163 allowed. Or sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one. No, that's 66. Sorry, that's my number two. I had the wrong thing. So that's insane on its own, right? 62, it was 415 points scored and 148 allowed. So that, for that 267 point differential. So just look at the sheer numbers. They dominated completely. And it's funny, the Lions beat them. And then one of the closest losses they had that season was also, again, the Lions in the regular season. That was a team that kind of had their number. They had a super solid defense. And yeah, it was one of the only teams that could really stop the Packers attack. They had a linebacker, Schmidt, I think. Anyway, he was one of the few that could kind of have the speed, the athleticism, the intelligence to kind of keep up with that zone blocking scheme, that run to daylight, right? Well, he kind of closed the daylight on that perfect season, unfortunately, as part of that Lions team. But yeah, still, without a doubt, I think the best Packers season ever, and they'd be so hard pressed to ever outdo this one, I think. I don't know. It's pretty ridiculous. Like, just how much better they were than everyone else. Like, it was almost unfair because they were just so good at what they did, and Lombardi was just such a great coach, so much better than everyone else. Just better. like athletically, they were just so much better conditioned, not just the scheme and you know, the actual coaching, but just the, you know, he forced them to be athletes tougher than anyone else in the NFL was doing at the time. And like, you know, now we're getting to the point where athletes are pushing themselves to the limits. They don't even need coaching staff. So coaching staffs come and go nowadays. Like NFL athletes and really professional sports athletes, they're all just these elite machines. But back then it wasn't the case, but he turned the Packers into that. And when no one else was, they were just able to outrun everyone, outhit everyone. Conditioning was so much better. The speed was so much faster. And again, the results of it, if you want to show the results of it, you'd show the 62 season, I think.
Right. I mean, there's nothing I can really add to that. Just, you know, there's on their opponents 3-1. And like you said, listen, they were telling you what they're going to do. We're going to run this play. Stop it. And nobody could. And to your point on, you know, the athletes and all this stuff. No, that was just, this is our system. This is what we're, which they did it flawlessly too. I'm not taking away nothing from the players, but this is what we're running. We're running our, here's the play. Stop it. Nobody could. Just the sheer numbers that you just spit out and what they were doing to teams outside of the Lions, which now I understand your hate for the Lions. To me, we're like, man, the Vikings and Bears. But I get it now. I get it. So, yeah, number one, I don't think we can even argue that.
Something that really stomped out any positives for the Lions was really Ndamukong Suh, though. Like, that really cemented it, seeing that. But, yeah, you look at the numbers and you can't help but think, oh, man, if only. But, you know, that's football, right? Apparently, right now, there's only one perfect season, so that makes it so glorious. Good job, Dolphins. If we're not doing a Lions or Bears or Vikings list. Like, we do not want to... I mean... Well, the Vikings would be interesting because you don't have any championships. So what do you choose? Sorry, Vikings. There you go, Jesse. You can rip on them for that.
It's got to be that epic failure in 98, right? Because that was a heck of a good football team. But yeah, whatever. I'm not talking about the Vikings on here.
Personally, I'd have to say it'd have to be a Frank Tarkenton season, just because they went to four Super Bowls. You'd have to pick one of them, I think. Probably the one they lost to the Steelers, where this, like, their run offense was amazing, but the Steelers' run defense was maybe the best we'd ever seen. So it might be that. Again, stop talking positives about the Vikings. One quick thing, though. So interesting. So there ended up, out of the 13 championship seasons, there were two that both Jesse and I agreed on completely that weren't in the top 10. So everything else kind of got represented. Again, I had 31 and you had 39. I did not have 39, if you noticed. So that's where that difference came in. The two other seasons were the 1930 season and then the 1944 season.
Right.
You know, looking purely at the numbers, and 44 is tough. I mean, I think, you know, we all know what was happening in the world at that time. Like, there were certain teams that actually had to fuse together just because they didn't have enough players. So, like, the league competition, not as great as it was. Even those two other teams, like in 36 and 39. So if I had to pick one that was for sure number 13, I think it would have to be 44. Only 10 games, so this does factor into it, but the point differential was only 97. So they weren't as elite as they normally were. I mean, still 8-2, and they won the championship, so it's great. And I believe Hudson retired just a couple years later. But, you know, I would say if it stacks up as probably the weakest of the Packers teams. And you know what, if you ever wanted to make an argument, like if you, Jesse, to put 2014 ahead of any championship season, or me to put 2011, you might even say it with this one, just because of that. Not, again, probably won't, probably still put it at 13, but it could be 14-15, to be honest.
It's close, right? Like, and like you said, it's really nice to have a story franchise like this where we can say, listen, you have to win it, because there's a lot of teams where they get outside that top five. There's not more championships to talk about. So it's a good problem to have. So hopefully, you know, in 10 years, we have a top 20 list and there's some more titles in there.
Oh, more work now. 12-20. Oh, boy. Yeah, we've got our work cut out for us this offseason. Like I said, we're going to do quite a few of these lists. So just keep an eye out for that throughout the offseason. We'll do them at times. This, again, seemed like an opportune time. There wasn't much going on. There wasn't much news. Kind of waiting around for things to happen, or just to really, like, you know, I think we don't think anything's happening, but we know what we're talking about. Hopefully another chance at a 2010 season. That'd be nice in 2021. And we'll keep you all informed as the 2021 offseason continues. Stay connected with everything Full Press Coverage with the Full Press Coverage app. So that will allow you to access to all of the written content through Full Press Coverage, all of the podcasts, as well as access to the Full Press Radio Network. So download the Full Press Coverage app for free. And, of course, follow us along on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at @Hall_JHall1212. I'm @SenraSays. I already said download the Full Press Coverage app. So do it again, though. Yeah, if you haven't done it, do it now. Again, it's free, so it's great, and you get everything you need from Full Press Coverage. Also, shout out to PA the Second, who wrote, produced, and performed the song we use our intro and outro music. That song is called Nayu. PA the Second can be found on Twitter at @PA_II_official. So Jesse, I guess I didn't really give you a chance to kind of debrief. So any thoughts you wanted to give just about the list in general, or how we did here? Any comments about today?
No, it was good. Everything was good. I think we agreed on a lot. You know, like we said, there was only 13 to choose from, and great points on all of them. Right? I mean, if we had a few more heads in here talking about it, the jostling between a few spots. But overall, like we said, hey, when you win, it's a great season. So everything works on my end. It was fun to do. And like you said, we're going to have plenty more lists to talk about this offseason. Hopefully, you know, right, like you said, no news is good news. And looking forward to, you know, minicamp starting up on the 8th and going from there.
I mean, news of Rodgers' extension, Adams' extension, that would be good news. That's the good news we want to hear.
That's great news.
How likely is that news to happen? Well, I mean, you know my likelihood of thinking that Rodgers is going to be traded. Well, if you haven't, go back to a couple episodes and you'll hear that. Honestly, though, I'm maybe being pessimistic. I'm starting to think that Rodgers or Adams' extension maybe is about the same percentage chance of happening.
We'll see, right? That's why we're here.
All right, end with a positive note. Jesse, final thoughts?
Go Pack, go!
Love to hear that here on the Full Press Packers Pod.